CBS Eye on the News. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online, writing most recently of two individuals who have served positions of trust in their parties. First, Susan Hennessy, who is now in the Justice Department, National Security Division. That's the FISA court, Andy tells me. And then Liz Cheney, formerly number three in the Republican conference in the House of Representatives, now representing Wyoming and much in the news. What is surprising about both of these individuals, public servants, is they've taken different directions in their partisanship, Democrat and Republican, and yet much of the attention to them in these last days comes because of Donald Trump's presidency. Susan Hennessy, because she was a very vivid voice during the Russiagate matter of 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. Actually, it continues, especially at Lawfare blog, which I read routinely because it was the position of the Democratic allegation that Donald Trump was a stooge of the Kremlin. Liz Cheney, as number three in the House of Representatives, took a very strong position in voting with the Trump administration all during the administration time. A very strong voice. She is the daughter of a former vice president, a man who served many cabinet posts. However, because the election was close, because there was this theme that the election was not regular, Liz Cheney took a position that was adverse to the former president's, Mr. Trump's. Therein lies the tale. Andy, a very good evening to you. I begin with Susan Hennessy, because I had not met her tweets before. You pointed me to several links, and people have done thorough reporting for years. She's extremely clever. At the same time, she represented all during the Russiagate matter a position that we now know was based on a hoax. To your knowledge, has she come to the meeting and acknowledged that she was fooled or in some way misled by the Steele dossier, by remarks that were made by people who couldn't back them up, such as Adam Schiff? Good evening to you, Andy.
Good evening, John. No, I don't believe she has. And this is part of my problem. I would agree with you that Susan is very clever. She's a Harvard-educated lawyer and an authentic expert in national security law. I think she teaches national security law at Georgetown Law School, if I remember right. So she's a serious person, but I think that in this era, serious people tend to, or at least some of them do, have a different kind of existence. It's almost a schizophrenic existence that they have on social media and in some of the, especially the primetime cable programs. And it gets very political and very partisan. And my sympathy with Susan is that she was saying the same sorts of things that I was saying at the beginning of what we now think of as Russiagate, when we were first learning particularly about the FISA abuse. She said, like I've said any number of times, and like I wrote in my book about this, that I assumed that the FBI that I knew and worked with for so many years, would never take a screed of uncorroborated partisan opposition research and use it to get a FISA warrant, which is a national security warrant to conduct surveillance on somebody on the ground that you suspect that that person is a clandestine agent of a foreign power, in this case, Russia. So what I always said was what we'll find out eventually is that the FBI mined the Steele dossier for five or six or seven facts that they needed to get probable cause, and they went to school on it and corroborated it and verified it and wouldn't go to court unless they had done that. Susan said the same thing. We both turned out to be wrong, and I thought it was indefensible, and I think she spent the next number of years trying to defend it. And I think where this finally leaves off, John, because I don't think it's ever going to get any better than this, is that they want to argue that there was an adequate basis to open the investigation. And that's only because, you know, they never tell you this part, but the FBI standards for opening an investigation are nil. I mean, you could virtually do it on a hunch for a preliminary investigation. And what they argue is that this is all, it was all very serious and it deserved to be investigated. And they never have, to my mind, come to grips either with the fact that they were wrong, and especially with the fact that they continue to defend people who did things that were simply not defensible.
And then Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is now removed from the number three position in the Republican Party. However, she is a strong voice in sympathy with the Trump administration's achievements, very strong voice, and voted accordingly. In fact, outvoted many members of her conference in standing with the president. And yet the irregularity of the election because of the pandemic and because of the procedures that were initiated by some states, not all states, Liz Cheney takes a position that is at odds with the president's position, the former president's position, and is sticking with it and is removed from authority. Again, it's a puzzle to me, Andy, why you want to fight a story that's over, that's behind us. It would be easy for Susan Hennessy to say, mistakes were made. My job now is to make sure it doesn't happen again and move on. And by the way, I was misled by X, Y, and Z. It would be easy, not easy, but it would be available for Liz Cheney to do the same thing. It was an irregular election in a pandemic. Look to the future in 22. Would that be an opportunity for them, or is the partisanship too deep in your measure?
Well, I think, John, that it would be possible to take that position if everybody was taking the position that the 2020 election is over and it's time to move on. And in particular for Republicans, it's time. What's going to be the unifying thing eventually for Republicans, as historically it is for the party out of power in the midterm elections, is what the current incumbent administration is doing. And there's a rich field to mine there. But I think from Liz Cheney's position, President Trump has not let this go. He is, in fact, Trump supporters, even as we speak, are trying to get the election undone in a number of states, particularly in Arizona at the moment. That's where the effort is focusing on. And the former president keeps making public announcements saying that the election was rigged and stolen and what have you. So he's not letting it go. And the problem is he still has a very strong hold on a vibrant plurality of the Republican Party. And there's some polling, John, that suggests that this is a CNN poll. So, I don't know what their methodology is, but they claim that 70% of Republicans believe the election was stolen or that Biden wasn't legitimately elected. And I think Liz's point is that the Republican Party not only needs to move on from the 2020 election, but it needs to move on with credibility and with a renewed purpose to pursue conservative opposition to Biden. And what they are instead mired in is continuing to relitigate an election that we lost, or that the Republicans lost. And I say we because I was a supporter. But I think that to the extent that there's fault in her position, it may be that she's been overly zealous in bringing this up at every opportunity, but it's obviously something she feels very strongly about. And I don't think she said anything that isn't true. I think to the contrary, the things that she's saying about the election, the fact that it was looked at by scores of courts, and that there is no evidence of fraud, and that even Attorney General Barr said that when he was still Trump's own Attorney General. And they got every opportunity in court to raise fraud issues if there really were any. And many times they turned down the invitation from courts to do that, because when push came to shove, what they had evidence of didn't match what their public rhetoric was. So I think what Cheney is concerned about is that the Republicans need to go forward with credibility.
And the credibility, I'll take that, Andy, and I'll also take here, because this story, both stories have unclear ends where we're going with this. Liz Cheney remains a member of the House of Representatives and certainly has a national stage. And Susan Hennessy has weight upon her shoulder now to enforce the Pfizer regulations that were bent during the Obama administration. However, I mentioned that what we have now is an opportunity for all of us to start again, a clean page on this matter. Is that something the parties want to do, or is your measure Susan Hennessy supporters and Liz Cheney supporters want to continue to litigate the past, the 2016 election and the 2020?
I think that the smarter people want to move forward, John. I think that there's no upside for, the Susan Hennessy
right.
part of the Democratic Party to litigate something that's embarrassing to them. If I were they, I'd certainly want to move on from that.
And
I think
Cheney,
Liz and the other leaders of the Republican Party want to move on, but unless the former president does and takes and basically releases his plurality of the party, which is continuing to pursue 2020 as a practical matter, it's hard to do that.
Andrew McCarthy, writing at the National Review Online about Susan Hennessy, now in office with the Biden administration, and Liz Cheney, a member of the House of Representatives from Wyoming. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.